and I'm Carrie Hines. Now, if it is Wednesday morning, it's time for Mary Reed Johnson. Mary, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, crew. Good morning, Carrie.
I am amazing,
especially after listening to Miss Lakeisha there. That was awesome stuff. So thank you for sharing that.
From San Antonio, Texas, to the line.
Hey, Mary.
Hey, T. And we all are hearing about how important it is. I don't even know if we can trust the vote, but at least do your part. Try to get out there and vote. And one of my dear, dear friends come in and he asked me about it and what he should do. And what makes him unique is this man, and he doesn't see it as a big old thing, but I want to encourage people, a population we may have even forgot to touch, people who have certain limitations or disabilities. I don't even like to use that word in particular, but people who have barriers, even they definitely, if they're of age and of, you don't even have to be of sound mind, but if you have that desire, just go out there and vote. And I'm going to just take a minute. This is Mary Reed, Hair, Head, and Heart, and I'm going to invite my friend Jason in to tell me about his voting experience, and we'll just a few minutes, and I just want to encourage people to vote. For those who are getting wrong information, the vote is next week, November 6th, so you have to go out and vote. Next time I talk to you, you should have already have voted. But if we
found out that they do have a machine out there that actually talks to you. It's accessibility ready. It talks. It guides you through every step of it. And it was, I mean, it would have been flawless had the machine printed my ballot. It didn't print my ballot because I don't think it was checked prior to me using it, because I don't think a lot of people use that machine. But however, I mean, it was one of the easiest things I ever did. Even with, you know, having sight, the lines are so long when we wait for the day of election, and it just becomes a deterrent to try to do that. So there was minimal lines, minimal people, and the judges that are there, they're there to help you. They set the machine up, walked me over, and started it, and, you know, away I went, basically.
That is so awesome. So it sounds like it took you less than maybe 15 minutes. Am I correct?
That is correct. Less than 15 minutes. And you do have to, I mean, I did vote early, so there is a little small application you have to have fill out. And I had a person there fill that out for me, only because I could not see the lines. But okay. that application was very short and to the point. And that was it, 15 minutes.
Now, the actual voting itself, even though it reads something to you, how do you know that you're, you know, how do you input the information of who you select?
So once you find out who you want to select, there's a big X in the middle of this keypad they give you, and you press that, and it'll say selected. And
you know, their votes should count.
Everybody's vote counts.
So, everybody
just got to get out and exercise that. So, I mean, I encourage everyone to get out and do that.
I'm so proud of you, and I'm always learning things from you. So I just thank you for being here this morning, telling people about the experience, and I will continue to spread the word. Thanks
awesome.
To Hair Radio Nation for allowing this moment, too. So enjoy your week, Mr.
You.
Jason. Oh, before
thank you
leave.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you. Before you leave, can you tell them about what you do and if there's a way that they can connect with you so they could support your business?
Well, what I do right now, since I've become legally blind, is I went to Massachusetts to learn to work on the Perkins Brailler machines, cleaning, repairing, what have you with those machines, and started a little business at the center that I took my vision loss rehab classes at, and that's down in Minneapolis, but they can reach me at 952-228-1547. And, you know, if there is a need or, you know, a question you have about a Brailler machine, I will be more than willing to have answer that question for you.
Well, I do have a question. Hi, Mr. Jason, this is Carrie Hines of the Hair Radio Morning Show. one of Harry's radio colleagues. And I have to say, first of all, I so applaud your efforts and everything that you're doing. And I know this probably is very natural to you, so you probably don't think it requires any additional kind of accolades of any sort. But I think it's quite honorable. And I just wanted to ask you, because a lot of folks, and I know I was listening to Mary when she jumped into the interview, and a lot of folks, we don't know what is politically correct, what is polite, what is the right way to address someone who, may be legally blind. What is the right, we say legally blind, but is that even acceptable? Do we say, what is the right way to address someone who has, lost their sight?
You know, I guess you can label it what it is. It's blind. Even though I'm visually impaired or legally blind, I have some vision, but it's not clear. So, I mean, I might as well be blind. I mean, I'm not opposed to being blind. It's just a term that people use when they become the vision is impaired and not all the way gone. So when a person is totally blind and if they're in the dark, they're blind, right? So
Understand.
I think either way, just address them as people, we are still people.
Yes, exactly. As I was saying it to you, I was thinking, why? I guess Mr. or Ms. probably still works. So I said, I guess, by being able to say, Mr. or Ms., you can address as, like you said, as people. Mr. Jason, I want to thank you too. Thank you so much for that information.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Crowley.
All right.
All right. So this is Mary Reed of Hair, Head, and Heart, and I just want to tell you, go and vote. Do your part. Don't worry about the rest. Just do your part. I am on. You can find out more information about what I do. Most things are hair and hair related at 3hwellness.org. And on there, we basically take a holistic approach to wellness. So it's a safe zone for all communities to learn and grow. So visit 3hwellness.org when you get a chance. One of the things that we're going to do today is just address a little bit with our hair therapy. So hair therapy addresses a multitude of concerns, and sometimes things are political, sometimes they're emotional, sometimes they're fact-finding, there's all types of things. But today we're going to talk about grandparents who are raising grandchildren. And it's not a bad thing, but there's an alarming number, an incredible number of people across the United States who are children who are being raised by their grandparents. And part of that comes from we, the adults, are living much longer. So on average, we're living to be 76. In the home, there are some issues that come with that. Aside from the economic things that occur, there's some issues where right now it's not uncommon for, say, a Caucasian family to get their grandchildren, and their grandchildren are multiracial. So they may have a history of a family with just generic straight hair, and then they get children or grandchildren, and the grandchildren have curly hair or wavy hair, or they suddenly are not sure, like if they need products or, this type of thing. So the thing that we're going to address are some questions that came out of a way that they can learn to do hair, because taking the kids to the shop and this particular couple, they had four grandchildren. And I don't know what the adult ages were, but they look like they were probably in their 60s and early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. And they had stair-step grandchildren. I saw three of them. Two of them looked like preteens, and two of them looked like maybe they were seven or so. I don't, but younger. And so the teens were boys, so it was easy. You could cut their hair, and if they so chose, and they did. And then the little ones, there was, actually it was one girl and then another little boy. His hair was cut too. So the girl looked about seven, and somebody had taken some time, at least, and her hair was in two ponytails, which is encouraging because a lot of times the people would, you know, will comb the tops of the hair, you know, comb over the exterior, but the interior turns into one big giant dreadlock. And I'm not opposed to dreadlocks, but if you're not touching the scalp, if you're not combing all the way through from the tips to the ends, right, and touching the scalp, then you're probably not combing that hair sufficiently. And that is what allows the hair to grow together, because all hair will turn into a dreadlock if you don't comb it. You can shampoo it. You can do all kinds of things. But if you don't separate the hairs individually, they will grow together. That's just what they were supposed to do. And if you don't break the pattern, then that's what happens. And if they're not manicured.
And I do want to jump in, Mary, if I may say, because, you know, we have a big audience of amazing folks, as you know, here on Hair Radio Morning Show. And I love it because some of the folks choose not to touch their hair, as Mary said, and it'll turn into those locks. I just wish mine would do that, but it doesn't so quickly.
Well, you know what? It doesn't do it quickly, but it will do it. All hair is just programmed to do that.
I'm waiting. I've been waiting and trying to do it for decades. But I'll tell you something else with that. And the, you know, and even though we have folks in one of our interviews that we just did recently, we'll get on tomorrow's show about the gentleman from Dreadlocks. He does a whole entire site about dreadlocks and all of that. And what just amazes me is because it just seems like I wish that we could just do away with every negative word that's associated with our hair. And if you really look at it, it is only the black culture that has negative words associated with hair. And we have got to, even the word dread for me, I know it doesn't bother other folks in general, but for me, dread, kinky, you know, all these names, just a boatload of them. And they're all negative.
And I think a lot of it is marketing.
Turned it back positive, but it's just so hard for me, Mary. I had to just jump in with that, and I'm sorry to mean hijack the show today, but that's what it just jumps out at me.
No, I understand, and I think a lot of that is marketing. If marketers make you feel bad about yourself, then they're going to make you come up
I'm
with this remedy.
The latest product. You're right. If that's
right,
because I
right.
feel awful about my hair. Wow, I love that, Mary.
Right. Right. So we just take it back. Just take it back and know that, you know, it's the same thing with our cultural naming. You know, some people want to be called colored. Some people want to be called black. Some people want to be African-American. Whatever. You take it back. And whatever makes you feel good about you, feel good about it. And don't buy something to make yourself feel good. You are, you know, that's an internal thing. And, it's very hard to overcome all of this marketing and whatnot, but know that you're okay. You don't need God. I believe in God, and I think He programmed us. It's inside. Everything's already inside. Like the Wizard of Oz, they're searching for this and that. It's already in there. So just pull it out of yourself and feel good about it. The terminology depends on where you are and what time in life, but generically for the United States, we weren't allowed to pack before the slave ships came here. Now, bear in mind, we were here before that, okay? But before the slave ships come and pulled people out of their homes who weren't here by design, they weren't allowed to pack first. And that's where a little bit of this comes from, because you had to rediscover what is in this new place that can be equivalent to what I use back home. And so that rediscovering should have been a positive thing, but marketers and people like that, capitalists, turned it into something negative, and it just kind of this really strange cycle of feeling inept and having a need, and then they turned it to something else where we really felt bad, and then we're driven by whatever they had in place. And so you just can't, you know, stop the cycle. Just feel good about you. But if you're a grandparent raising your grandchildren, you have to not only feel good about you, you have to have them feeling good about themselves. So the types of things that you do are, number one, don't obsess. And one of the things the grandparents do is, like, if there's a church or there's a person walking down the street and they have a kid, they'll ask them questions. And I understand that. But sometimes, you know, that person only knows very, very little, period. And they might have a negative view. They may have bought into all the marketing, may have bought into all kinds of things. And that is not necessarily a particularly good influence on your family or that child. If they, sometimes people have a mindset that black kids should not be with people who are not black. Understood. But if that's where you are, then that probably is not a person who's going to be really positive and helpful and help you build up the relationship, because it's a really good bonding experience. And you don't have to be elaborate, and you don't necessarily have to have extensions and, you know, a lot of things that you hear about in the community. Those are great for whoever needs them. But you're as a grandparent and you're on a budget and you have four kids that you didn't have last year, you're going to need to learn quickly. And you're going to need to be positive, and you're going to need to feel comfortable about where you get your information. So,
now, Mary, what about next week? What did you have? Because you guys out there listening to Hair, Head, Heart with Mary Reed Johnson as part of the Hair Radio Morning Podcast Wheel. And since we're wrapping up today, anything you want to say for next week for folks to tune in?
Well, aside from voting, I want to make sure that they get a chance. I hope to have Jess Ross, who has a book about Fathers Matter. And he is just a wonderful, positive person. He's all about leadership and just developing positive networks. And so hopefully Jesse will be in next week. And if not him, there may be a relationship one, which we've been promising, a relationship one from some people who have had, you know, over 40 years in the game. And so we'll talk about relationships.
Well, I am always excited to welcome Mary Reed Johnson, but I also want to take a moment to shout out our partner in crime, Mr. Terrence from San Antonio, Texas, who's been just enjoying your broadcast today, Mary. Mr. Terrence, are you still there?
Yes, I enjoyed his man. Always great information, and I especially loved it when she was talking about having biracial children being brought up by people that may not be the same ethnic background, because I have a multiracial child, and oh man, that was just good stuff. And you know, it's always amazing to hear Mary speak, so big shout out to her.
Well, Mary, you just bring it. So, folks, I'm Carrie Hines, and I want to thank Mr. Terrence. I also want to give a special thank you to Miss Mary Reed Johnson, Hair, Head, Heart, each Wednesday morning now at 8:30 Eastern, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Podcast. Today was our broadcast number 373, as we broadcast live from Brooklyn, New York, to Minneapolis, Minnesota, to all across the country and around the world. Make it an awesome, awesome Wednesday.